lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum. Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
My dear respected viewers of Malaysian, we once again welcome you in our program Lives of the Companions. In this program, we talk about a Sahabi Rasul, companion of the Prophet. And we talk about life and legacy of a particular Sahabi Rasul. Today, inshaAllah, we'll be talking about Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala an, who is amongst Ashara Mubashara, amongst those 10 Sahaba Ikram who were given the glad tidings of Jannah in their lifetime by the Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Respected viewers, before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make a few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya, always reminds us to make good intentions. As I am presenting this program, I make this intention, I will present it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're watching, you can make this intention, you'll watch from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others. We've got our Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Muhammad Wasim Abbas Attari with us. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marhaba Wasim Abbas. Once again, welcome. And today we've got a beautiful personality, mashallah, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala an. Quite excited to discuss this personality. And amongst those 10 Sahaba Ikram which we covered in our episodes, mashallah, this is the last one with regards to Ashara Mubashara, 10 Sahaba Ikram. The 10th Sahabi, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, radiyallahu ta'ala. In the start, how would you like to just, initiate this program? What would you like to share with viewers of Madani Channel? Would you like to just talk about his brief introduction, or you would like to just talk from acceptance of Islam? Up to you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Subhanallah Rizwan. May Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu anhu, amongst the Ashra Mubashara. When we look at his seerah, when we look at his personality, he's a symbol of bravery, a symbol of determination. And the achievements which Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu anhu brought for Islam, he attained, they're written in the golden words in Islamic history. Now, every companion of the Prophet, they possess many attributes, many qualities, but then certain companions, they have a distinguishing character within their personality with which they become famous. Like Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu, he's known to be Farooq, although all companions are Farooq, but he is Farooq-e-Azam. So if we look at Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu anhu, we see him as a great military leader of Islam. We see him someone who brought great victories, great achievements for Islam. We see him someone who's very beloved to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We see him who's very beloved to other companions, the companions like of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the likes of Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, how they would talk a very high of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. So despite having all these attributes, these excellences, being a symbol of bravery, a mark of bravery, at the same time, we see him to be extremely humble. We see him someone who would express extreme humbleness and would live a very simple life. Someone who would possess a great level of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who had great mindset of being generous and spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu is one way again. These personalities are not any ordinary personalities. Any companion of the Prophet, they are the most elite amongst the creation. And then when we talk about Ashra Mubashara, they are the most elite amongst the companions. And these companions, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned their name one by one, stating that they are the dwellers of paradise. And Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he's also amongst those fortunate companions who were named individually by the Prophet ﷺ and given the glad tidings of Jannah. This in its own, Rizwan bhai, shows the greatness of these Sahaba, especially these 10 Sahaba, amongst all the companions that were given the glad tiding of Jannah by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So this distinction in its own shows the greatness of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu anhu. Now, we're talking about the mark of bravery that he has. We're talking about the simplicity that he has. We talk about the humbleness that he possesses. You see, any attribute of Islam, any trait you want to talk about, you want to talk about being a devout worshipper, you want to talk about simplicity, you want to talk about humility, you want to talk about having piety, you want to talk about having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to talk about bravery, you want to talk about generosity, anything you want to talk about, we see all these companions to be beacons of guidance in every single perspective and a facet that we want to talk about. When we talk about Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu in particular, Rizwan, where there are many things to discuss about, but let's start with his introduction in terms of what his name was, what his lineage was. So in this regard, it is stated that his full name was Amir bin Abdullah bin Jarrah bin Hilal bin Wuhayb bin Dabbah bin Harith bin Fihr bin Malik bin Nadr bin Kanana Qarashi Fihri.
Right.
So in the seventh chain of his lineage, upon Fihr, it meets that of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his kunya, his patronymic name, is known as Abu Ubaidah. And although his father's name was Abdullah, but he's more known with the association of his grandfather's name, which is Jarrah. That's why he's known as Abu Ubaidah, his kunya ibn Jarrah radiyallahu anhu. And when you talk about his beloved mother, her name was Sayyidatuna Umme Abi Ubaidah, Umayma binti Ghanam radiyallahu anha, and she also embraced Islam, and her full name is Umayma binti Ghanam bin Jabir bin Abdul Uzza bin Amir bin Umaira bin Wadi'a bin Harith bin Fihr. So from the side of the mother, again the lineage meets that of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam upon ninth chain. So this was the brief introduction of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu anhu in terms of his name and in terms of his lineage. And how he radiyallahu anhu would physically appear, how beautiful he was. Regarding this, it's written that he radiyallahu anhu was of a tall height. Right. He was slim and smart and possessed an extremely luminous face. An extremely luminous face. And he would dye his hair of the head, and he would dye his beard as well. And it is stated regarding him that he radiyallahu anhu had a very impactful personality, a personality that was full of awe. He was extremely wise, very, very wise. That is why he held very senior posts and designations in the Islamic history, which wouldn't be possessed by anyone if they weren't wise. So he radiallahu anhu was very, very, very wise, very humble, someone who would meet very kindly, and he was a devout worshipper. He was a devout worshipper, and he was matchless in these qualities that he possessed. And he's included amongst those individuals who are known to be expert in warfare. Right. He's known as expert in warfare. And due to his strategies, many times, the strategies that he would adopt, the entire situation of the battle would change altogether. And it was under his leadership that the Muslims, they attained a great victory over the biggest superpower of the time as well. It was under the leadership of none other than Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu anhu.
Romans, Roman Empire. Wonderful. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we are talking about Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala, who is known to be one of those great personalities ever walked on the face of history, especially as you talked about that administrative affairs, when we talk about his war strategies, his wisdom, subhanAllah, it is known. And alhamdulillah, in terms of humility, idz, inkisari, and other attributes which we have discussed, mashallah. And there is so much to talk about today, respective of Madani Channel, because Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala was famously known among Sahaba-i-Kiram. They all praise. They had their own beautiful statements for Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala, which we would definitely understand. But the account of his acceptance of Islam itself is very, interesting. Would you like to just expand on this, please?
Subhanallah. When we talk about his acceptance of Islam, is one way. We come to know that he radiallahu anhu is amongst those companions who embrace Islam in the very early days of Islam.
Subhanallah.
In the most testing times, the most difficult times. And when he embraced Islam at that time, Sayyidina Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu was also with him.
Right.
And he radiallahu anhu is amongst those companions who were invited towards Islam by none other than the first caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu.
Right.
And if you talk about the circumstances which the Muslims encountered in the very early days of Islam, we also come to know the greatness from many other perspectives of those Sahaba as well. Now, he radiallahu anhu is also known as Dhul Hijratain, someone who migrated in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than once. He radiallahu anhu migrated twice in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in total, there were three migrations that took place. Two were from Makkah to Abyssinia, and then one was towards Madinat al-Munawwara. So when the second migration took place from Makkah to Abyssinia, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu migrated in that migration, and then later he migrated to Madinat al-Munawwara as well. So that's why he radiallahu anhu is also known as Dhul Hijratain, someone who migrated twice. So again, this is one way we see his greatness from the perspective of embracing Islam at the time when it was very, very difficult to remain steadfast upon Islam. And then he's also amongst those who migrated twice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today we're talking about these individuals who migrated in the path of Allah Almighty. It sounds very easy today to hear that they migrated, but what does migration actually mean?
Yes.
If you think about this and if you delve deeper into this concept of migration, you would realize what a great sacrifice that was, which is not a cup of tea of everyone, which is not easy for everyone, leaving everything, everything that you have, leaving everything just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going in another land. And today, it's a globalized environment. Today, there's social media everywhere. We can go in every corner, in any corner of the world, and we can still be connected with our loved ones in the other corner of the world. Today, times are different, but back in those days, it was totally different. Migration was not easy, and the love of your motherland, that would also be instilled in your heart. So Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu migrated twice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And it's their sacrifices that we see this beautiful tree of Islam being upheld all across the globe, alhamdulillah. And it is their sadaqah that we are even, alhamdulillah, enjoying today.
MashaAllah. Beautiful, respected viewers of Badr al-Jinn, we're talking about Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic. We'll learn more about this great personality, inshallah. But now it's time to include one segment in our program, and that is Message of a Scholar. Let's include that segment first. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the Companions.
We end up committing sins, we repent and make firm commitment not to commit sin again, but again we break our promise. Question is how to keep our promise after repentance.
Primarily, we don't even know how to repent. We just do this while smiling. This is not repentance. An-nadamu tawbatun, meaning embarrassment is repentance, mentioned in a hadith, meaning that a person should feel guilty over his sin, thinking that, oh, what have I done? I shouldn't have done this, right? Uttering these words are not necessary, but in his heart he should have this feeling that I've done wrong. So a person should be ashamed, and the repentance should have a final decision of a person that I will never commit this sin again. This is also one of the conditions, that I will never commit this sin again. So when a person repents in this way, making sure that he meets all his conditions and requirements, only then the repentance will be valid. And then after that, means to attain steadfastness also need to be established. Thereafter, being a human being, if a sin is committed again, not deliberately, but gets committed, then one should repent again.
If one thinks that let me commit the sin and then I'll repent later, this is very dangerous. Remember, it's necessary to have this firm conviction that I will not commit the sin again. And if someone thinks in his mind that I will commit this sin again, etc., then this is not repentance but mocking Allah Almighty. Just imagine bumping into someone with your elbow, having quite a strong impact, and you end up apologizing to him saying sorry, and say that be careful, I'll be kicking you now. Then it's obvious that your apology will not be accepted. He will not forgive you, he will become more angry and more displeased with you. So now if you repent to Allah saying that, oh Allah, I have disobeyed you but I will do it again. Please forgive me but I'll do it again. This is joking with Allah, as is mentioned in the hadith that this is mocking Allah. It should be a firm conviction that I'll not commit sin again. Every single strand of hair of our body should agree to the fact that we will not commit the sin again. Then this condition of repentance will be fulfilled.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we were listening a message from a scholar. And today we are talking about beautiful personality Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. He is that Sahabi Muslim Abbasbari who got the laqab, title from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as Aminul Ummat. Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, every ummah has one Amin, a trustworthy personality, person. And in this ummah, meaning the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Amin is Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala alayhi. Even when Sahaba Ikram and Ridwan, they used to talk about Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, they would, subhanAllah, talk about his this attribute, his this quality being the Amin of the Ummah, subhanAllah. Such a great personality who was given the title by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And further, we also find that Sayyidina Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala narrates Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam's quote, Ahli Najran, once they came, the people from Najran, they came and they presented themselves in the court of Rasulullah and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, you send one person from your end to us who is Amin, who is trustworthy. Rasulullah alayhi sallam said that I will send you one person towards you who is such Amin the way an Amin should be. He is such trustworthy the way a trustworthy should be. Then people saw Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam send Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala. So this was his great status before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. See, and how highly Rasulullah alayhi wasallam spoke about him. And these beautiful comments, when they were made by individual Sahabi, it does not mean that he did not, the others did not possess that quality, or he was lacking in other qualities, but this was just the quality which was mentioned. In this regard, it has been mentioned by Mufassir Shaheed Hakimul Ummat Mufti Ahmad Yar Nahimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala in the Sharah of this hadith, explaining this hadith, that you can say the highest level of trustworthiness, if you can talk about this trait when it is talked, so then we can say it was, subhanAllah, the Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala an. You see? And this is what, it doesn't mean that other Sahaba Kiram were not Amanad-Dar, or they were not Amin, or they were not trustworthy. They were also trustworthy. But amongst all, he stood out. This personality stands out. Wasim Abbas, we have talked about a few of the attributes which are very distinctive in terms of the qualities of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. His one of the accounts, I think, that's very interesting when it comes to know more of his awsaf and his qualities. Would you like to just mention when an ambassador from another nation came and he witnessed certain distinctive qualities in this beautiful personality? What did he witness and what did he report?
SubhanAllah, this is a beautiful account, is one way which shows us the great level of humility that Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu possessed. And such level of humility which would even render other people perplexed. Other people, they wouldn't believe to see what they would have, what they would witness in terms of the level of humility that was expressed by Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu an. Now, once what happened was that the Muslims, they had laid a siege to the fort of non-believers, to the fort of disbelievers. And the disbeliever army, it also came out once and fought with the Muslim army, but they faced a loss, and then they went back inside their fort. Now, when they realized that there's no way that they can win against the Muslims, they can there's no way that they can conquer the Muslims. Now, what they thought was that we should have reconciliation with the Muslims. So what they do is that they send an ambassador from their side to the Muslims. They send this message to the Muslim army that we want to send an ambassador from our side to your side to negotiate with you, to have reconciliation with you. And if you accept this very request of ours, then this would be good in our favor as well as yours. And if you reject this, then there would be loss at both ends. So the Muslim commander-in-chief, he accepted this very request of them of theirs, and he said that, oh, that's fine, send your ambassador, send the bear that you want to send. Now, look at the mindset that they wanted to subdue the Muslims. They wanted to leave a mark on the Muslims, an impression on the Muslims. So what they did was that they sent their ambassador, adorning him very well in nice, fancy clothing, in most finest clothing that they could, and they chose a very tall-hearted person who was quite strong, physically strong. So they chose him and they sent him as an ambassador to the Muslims. Now, the reason, because that ambassador had still not seen the commander-in-chief of the Muslims, who is Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anh, so he doesn't know who exactly he is.
Okay.
So he reaches the Muslim army and he says that, oh, group of Arabs, where's your commander-in-chief? And they pointed towards one side and they said, he might be over there, so go over there. So now when he goes over there, the scene that he witnesses, he couldn't believe his eyes what he sees. Because his mindset was that the commander-in-chief, the leader of believers, who's the leader at that moment of time, he would be sitting on a grand throne, and there would be so many servants around him, serving him, and they would be waiting for him to give an instruction which they can fulfill, and there would be great army, great guards surrounding him, and I'll have to go through many, many obstacles to reach him. These are all the thoughts that he's thinking in his mind. But when he sees an ordinary person, an ordinary appearing person who's very slim and smart, with a tall height, but having a very a personality full of awe. He sees this personality sitting on the ground, on his own, alone. And what is he doing? He's turning the arrows upside down, and he's just investigating. He's just looking into the weapons that they have to do the war. Just a simple person without any protocol, without any guards, without any fancy clothing, without any grand throne, without any guards, without any servants, on his own, with simplicity, sitting on the floor. Now, out of astonishment, he says, are you the commander-in-chief of the Muslims?
Okay.
To which he replies, yes, I am. Now, the ambassador, he says, that what is the reason that you're sitting on the ground? If you had great pillows and you had a great carpet, even then you would have remained honored and revered in the sight of Allah Almighty. Then why have you kept yourself deprived of all these blessings?
Yeah.
Now, the reply that Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anh gave at this moment of time, this is something to ponder upon, and this is something to be written in golden words of the history of Islam. He says that since Allah does not perform haya from mentioning the haq, so why would I perform haya? Why would I be ashamed or stay behind from mentioning haq? He says that what the actual fact is, that the most need, what I'm in need of, is a sword, a horse, and a few weapons. However, if I'm in need of anything more than this, then I loan it from a brother, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anh. And if he is in need of something, then he takes it from me. He loans it from me. This way, our heart does not incline towards luxuries, towards the comforts of this world. He says that, for example, even if I do get hold of a carpet, a finest quality of carpet, he says, then how can I sit on it whilst my other brothers are sitting on the ground? Meaning that he did not prefer to be distinguished from the others. That others, my brothers will be sitting on the ground and you want me to sit on the carpet? I can't take this. He says that we are the servants of Allah. We walk on the earth, we sit on the earth, we eat and drink on the earth, we sleep on the earth. And because of all this, our reward is increased in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our ranks are also increased in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this level of humility, which we see in Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu anhu, who is the leader of that army, the commander-in-chief of that army. And look at the mindset of other people. Commander-in-chief, he would be of high status. And from just looking at him, you would be able to distinguish
the
between him.
The important point is an enemy, the person from the enemy, he is praising. This is something important. Those, they love you. Those, they are close to you. They always appreciate your good qualities.
Indeed.
The more important fact is when someone from your enemy, he comes and he witnesses something stranger, weird, and then he appreciates and praises. SubhanAllah. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, now it's a time to include one segment in our program, and that is words of wisdom. Let's include that segment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.
Today, the words of wisdom, what we've got is protector of honor. Alas, today Muslims are disgracing each other through social media and print media, whereas Islam has made Muslims the protector of each other's honor. Yes, respected viewers of Madani Channel, this is really, really important. This piece of advice was given in Madani Muzakara by Amir of Ahl Sunnah. No doubt, we should protect each other's honor, and this is what a Muslim is dutiful, and he should do that. Unfortunately, nowadays things are other way around. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen, bijahin, nabil, ameen. Today we are talking about a great personality, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala. And Wasim Abbas, when we read the seerah of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala, where there are so many other attributes and qualities which we have been, alhamdulillah, discussing today, there are certain features in his personality, like he was, as you mentioned, a person who did migrate twice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another important event which took place, which was Bayt-e Rizwan, subhanallah, the glad tiding for those the participants of that Bayt, which subhanallah has been mentioned in Quran also. That also gives another beautiful feature where Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala stands out, because he was also part of that Bayt, where Sahaba Ikram alayhi Ridwan, they did Bayt on the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. And then there are so many other attributes which also distinguish that he was from the early Muslims, and then a person who migrated twice in Hijrah, then Bayt al-Rizwan, and all these beautiful traits which we have been discussing in our other previous programs also. These Sahaba ikram, those they were part of these great witnesses. And again, one more important factor with regards to Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu ta'ala and Jarrah radiyallahu anhu, is that he participated in all ghazwat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A ghazwa is that battle in which Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam himself participated. And it is another subhanallah distinction that he radiyallahu anhu participated all those expeditions in which Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam himself participated in all the ghazwat, which also gives him another feature to stand out. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we will inshallah come back and talk about more about this personality. But let's now include one more segment before we talk further on this topic. And that is the questions and answers. Did you know? Let's find out what is there for us today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions.
Yusuf Abbasri, the very first question for you, what does preaching mean?
SubhanAllah, it means to convey divine commandments to people. To
question for you, Rizwan Bhai, is that have blessed Anbiya alayhimus salam conveyed all the divine commandments to people?
Yes. Blessed Anbiya alayhimus salam have conveyed to people all the commandments of Sharia revealed to them by Allah Azza wa Jal for the purpose of preaching. This is very important, Wasim Ibn Baswai, that Anbiya Kiram, they do not have any fear whatsoever of any insan, any jinn, or anything or any creature on the face of the earth when it comes to fulfill their obligation in terms of conveying the message which they had to do from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do Rasul have any proof of their risalat, i.e. the fact of being a Rasul?
Yes, indeed they do. And this very proof of their risala is called a mu'jaza, prophetic miracle. And the next question for you is that, have miracles of Anbiya Karam alayhimus salam been mentioned in the glorious Quran as well?
Yes, of course. Many miracles of Anbiya Karam alayhimus salam have been mentioned in the glorious Quran.
Subhanallah.
These were the few questions, respective views of Madani Channel, which we included today in order to increase our knowledge. And today, again, just for the reminder, we're talking about Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. Any other distinctive feature which you would like to share with viewers of Madani Channel to learn from the life and legacy of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala and the personality from Ashara Mubashara?
SubhanAllah. Regarding the Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu participating in all the ghazwat with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the exhibiting of his prophetic love that he did during the Battle of Uhud, that's also remarkable, how he expressed his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that was second to none. We know that during Battle of Uhud, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam got slightly injured. The casque, the helmet that he was wearing, the chain, two chains of that very casque, they pierced through the blessed cheeks of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, when he saw this, he became anxious, he became restless, and he instantly reached the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And now he took out those very pierced chains from the cheek of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And how did he do that? He pulled them out with his own teeth. So when he pulled out the first chain from the blessed cheek of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his first front tooth also broke. Allah. But then he took the second one out, and whilst taking that out, his second tooth also broke. So this was the level of love that Sahaba Ikram alayhi ridwan in general, and especially Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anh, had for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that they would go to this extent, even they wouldn't stay behind from sacrificing their life to ensure that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is not harmed, even in the slightest. And this very account shows us the love that he radiallahu anh had for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, how he took those chains out of the blessed cheek of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and sacrificed his own comfort, his own teeth, upon the comfort of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
And I would like to just extend what you've said, the love he had for. And now let's find out what love Rasulullah had for Abu Ubaidah and Allah ta'ala. It is mentioned Sayyidina Abdullah bin Ash-Shaqiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that, I asked from Umm al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa Tayyaba Tahira radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Before Rasulullah alayhi wasallam, who was the most beloved? She said Abu Bakr. Then she said Umar. And after them, when she was asked, it was Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says, when I asked then she radiallahu ta'ala did not answer and she remained silent. SubhanAllah. So this is what is another beautiful hadith which talks and mentions the status of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala, where it does mention the status of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. So when we talk about these beautiful narrations and hadiths, certain hadith are in the favor of a certain sahabi.
Indeed.
In the distinction of a certain sahabi, it doesn't mean that other sahaba ikram were, you see, in terms of their own qualities and attributes, they were any less. No, it doesn't mean that. But there were certain sahaba ikram, at certain occasions, they were given those beautiful praiseworthy remarks which are distinctive for them. And subhanAllah, this is what we learned from him. We also know some narration regarding his akhlaq. Would you like to share that?
SubhanAllah. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding his character as well, regarding his mannerism, where he stated that there's nothing to say regarding his character, meaning the character that he possesses, there's no kalam on it. There's nothing to talk about it. This again shows the greatness of his character, of his seerah, of his nobility that he possessed. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself is mentioning the greatness of character of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu anhu. At another occasion, Rizwan bhai, there's a beautiful narration again before me where it speaks about the greatness of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu anhu from the perspective of luminosity and how luminous personality he possessed. Mm-hmm. And it's none other than Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma who's narrating. And who's Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma? Son of the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. So he says that there were three people of Quraysh whose faces were the brightest and the most beautiful. And their characters were the best and they surpassed everyone in terms of modesty. And he carries on to say that they're such people that if they speak to you, they won't lie. And if you speak to them, they won't deny you. Then he carries on to mention those people who those people are. So the first one he says is Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu. The second is Amirul Mu'mineen, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. The third one is Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. SubhanAllah. Being amongst the likes of Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, SubhanAllah. And then, having this greatness from this perspective as well, we can see that how Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, they kept him dear and how highly they spoke of Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu as well.
MashaAllah. Respecting those of Madani Shail, we're talking about Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala and Sahabi Rasul from Ashara Mubashara. Now it's time to include one segment in our program, and that is Hadith of the Day. Let's include that. We'll come back and talk about this great personality. Sallu ala al Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Everyone's eager to have a palace in the dunya, the world, a mansion, a spacious house. But how many of the believers are eager and enthusiastic about attaining the same in Jannah, in paradise, the hereafter, the next life? And truth be told, if we realized the importance of the hereafter, we would work so hard for it. Let me give you a narration, which is found in Ibn Majah. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu is the rabi, the narrator. He states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever builds a masjid for the pleasure of Allah Almighty, Allah Almighty builds a house for him in paradise. So this hadith encourages us, encourages the believers to participate in the building of masajid in the dunya. What will you get in return? You will get a house built for you, inshallah, in paradise. May Allah give us tawfiq to invest in our hereafter. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Well, last week we were talking about Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, and before going to the segment, any other beautiful narration which mentions his status is SubhanAllah grandeur.
SubhanAllah. Rizwan bhai, I would like to quickly touch upon the glad tiding given in the Quran regarding Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu and all the companions who pledged allegiance at the occasion of Baitul Rizwan. And what great glad tiding Allah Almighty gave to all those companions who were present there. And Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu was also present during that pledge when it was made with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah Almighty said regarding those companions in verse number 18 of Surah Fatha, Allah Almighty says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. Meaning, Allah was pleased with the believers when they were pledging allegiance to you beneath the tree. So Allah knew what was in their hearts. Then He caused tranquility to descend upon them and rewarded them with an imminent victory.
Subhanallah.
So this glad tiding was given to them. These Sahaba were present during Baitar Rizwan, and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was also present over there, where we come to know that Allah is pleased with them who pledged allegiance beneath the tree. Then Allah knew what is in their hearts.
Subhanallah.
Imagine how pure their hearts would be. You know, and then Allah caused tranquility to descend upon them. And then rewarded them with an imminent victory. This is being mentioned in the Quran, and Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu being a part of that group who pledged allegiance to the Prophet والسلام, beneath this tree, which is referred to in this very verse. And then at other occasions as well, there were verses of Quran revealed in favor of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. Now, as we spoke in our last episodes, that what can we say about an individual regarding whom, in whose favor the verse of Quran is revealed? Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu is also amongst those personalities for whom the multiple verses of the Quran were also revealed, one of which we just heard.
Now, Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Afdalul Bashar, Ba'd al Anbiya,
Subhanallah,
what a great personality you have brought on the face of this earth. Now, in front of him, what is the maqam of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala
anhu? Allah, Subhanallah.
Now, it is mentioned that after the apparent demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions this, that there are two people who are liked by me.
Subhanallah, right? Favorite to me.
Favorite to me. One is Sayyidina Umar Farooq, and one is Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala an. And he said that after me, you can do bay'ah
to any of them.
To any of them you wish.
Subhanallah. Allah. This was again the humility of Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu, and the love that they possessed for each other, the sincere and pure heart that they had for each other, as they are choosing Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu. And Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu, he himself is choosing others over him. This is also a symbol of greatness that a person possesses, that he prioritizes others above himself. Now, Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu, there was consensus of Sahaba alayhim ridwan for him to be the leader of the believers. But subhanallah, over
he
here.
He mentioned his wish, but by the end of the day, Khalifa indeed, was made with consensus.
Indeed. But then
this mentions his
subhanallah. In his sight, subhanallah, that shows the greatness of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. At one occasion, is one way, again, the first caliph of Islam, Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu, he addressed Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, and he said to him that, "O Abu Ubaidah, shall I not pledge allegiance to you?"
Allah.
Subhanallah. Look at the love and the great element of respect that these companions are having for each other. Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu, he's addressing Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, saying, "O Abu Ubaidah, shall I not pledge allegiance to you? Because I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that you are the Amin of this Ummah."
Allah.
Subhanallah, mentioning his greatness, to which he radiallahu anhu replies now, subhanallah. He says that, "How can I lead salah? How can I pray ahead of
such a person,
meaning Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was made Imam by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and until the Prophet والسلام, physically departed from this world, that very personality, meaning Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, remained our Imam."
Allah.
Meaning that, of course, the one who is the leader, he will be leading. Whoever becomes the leader, he will be leading Salah. So now he is saying that, how can I lead Salah ahead of the one who was made our Imam by the Prophet والسلام, and he remained our Imam until the Prophet والسلام, physically departed from this world.
And this also proves one of the beautiful points ulama, they've mentioned that amongst all people they are present, right?
Yeah.
Who is made Imam in terms of knowledge, in terms of intellect, in terms of taqwa, in terms of piety, and all the qualities and character, whenever that is judged and that is seen, if that the person who will have faqiyat or who would surpass
the certain conditions
and conditions are met. But then qualities are also seen, attributes are also seen, fadl is also seen, you see. And then that person is worthy of standing ahead. So if there was anyone other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, more superior in terms of taqwa, in terms of fadl, in terms of excellence, in terms of knowledge and all other attributes.
In terms of being worthy of being imam.
Worthy of being imam. Then Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam would have made him imam.
Indeed.
Right? So this tells us the excellence of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, that he was made imam by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in his life, and he led prayers in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what was again referred by Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, and Sahaba Kiram knew this, and that was one of the reasons why the Sahaba, they had consensus upon his khilafah and his you can say him being Khalifa to Muslim and Mu'mineen. No doubt. Respecting views of Madani Channel, these beautiful narrations when Sahaba Kiram subhanAllah mentioned, definitely it also shows us so many other beliefs also, understandings also, and clarify so many misunderstandings also. Indeed. At the same time, the love they had between and amongst them, mashallah, this is also crystal clear. Anything else? We've got a few more minutes to go and we can talk about this great personality.
Jai Rizwan, we have a beautiful narration of Jami Tirmizi, subhanAllah, before me. On the authority of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that in my ummah, the most kind, the most polite is Abu Bakr.
Subhanallah.
And the most strictest in the matters of deen, religion, is Umar. And the more truthful in terms of modesty is Uthman. The biggest qari of the Book of Allah is Ubay ibn Ka'b. And the greatest knower of Ilmul Fara'id is Zayd bin Thabit. And the greatest scholar of Halal al-Haram is Mu'adh bin Jabal. And listen, that there is one Ameen in every ummah, and the Ameen of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu.
Subhanallah.
So at the beginning of this narration, we can see that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning everyone's fada'il in one go. But when it comes to Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he alayhi salatu wasalam especially says that, and listen,
Allah,
that every ummah has an Ameen, and the Ameen of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu
anhu.
Subhanallah.
Respective views of Madani Channel, Sahaba Ikram and Ibn Ridwan, they've got their own status and maqam, which has been mentioned in Quran and in Ahadith. There are many narrations which are specific to Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushkil Gusha, Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajahun Kareem. They've been just explicitly mentioned in favor and in shan and maqam and excellence of Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushkil Gusha, Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajahun Kareem. And there are certain for Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain, subhanAllah. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And again, there are certain for specific Sahaba Ikram. And when we talk about each Sahabi Rasul, then those narrations are mentioned. And then you, subhanAllah, become mesmerized when you see that how Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam praised each and every individual. And this was the reason after 1400 years plus today we are talking about these great personalities.
Indeed.
Because Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam spoke about them. He, alayhi salatu wasalam, made comments and remarks, the praiseworthy remarks amongst them. And these narrations, they came to us, that we come to know that what kind of great status they possessed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to understand. Respecting views of Madani Channel, that's all for today. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much, Wasim bhai, for your time and knowledge. Respecting views of Madani Channel, we'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Keep watching Madani Channel. Next time, inshallah, when we come, we'll be talking about, again, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, and because we cannot do justice in just one program with such a great personality and such a great status he possessed. SubhanAllah, there's so much more to learn from his life and legacy. We'll be back next week with, inshallah, more beautiful accounts and features in the personality which are dominant in the personality of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala an. Until next time, keep watching Madani Channel, keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Lives of the companions radiallahu anhum. Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم.